Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Rosie. Welcome to Am I an Asshole, guys?
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Mm. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the podcast about checking your asshole tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're going to do one on being home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Super relatable.
Mm-hmm. Well timed.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Jackie? How's your digestion?
Oh, my God. So far, so good. I can't believe it. It's kind of a miracle.
I can't. Okay, so last night, you guys, we were at a party with Nick and Jackie and some of our friends, and Nick goes, "Oh, babe, I think you just ate two regular pieces of pizza." As you guys know, Jackie has celiac and she's very allergic to gluten.
I blow out, have serious, serious explosive diarrhea.
Right. And so she was in the middle of eating her second slice.
Yeah, it was so good. And I don't know why I just didn't pay attention to...
There was a gluten-free pizza.
There was a gluten-free pizza, and I knew that there was one, but there were three boxes, and they weren't separated, and I don't know why. I just was like, I'm going to just eat this one, and then I'm going to eat this other one, and then discovered, later that I ate two full-blown... gluten flour...
Delicious
pizzas, and... slices of pizza and
full pizzas. I forgot to mention that there were two full pizzas.
I would be dead.
Oh my God.
But I take these digestive pills and I took one to try to save myself, and then our friend Robert had another digestive pill, and he has stomach issues, not to put him on blast. But,
right.
And his might be more potent than mine. So with everyone's encouragement, I took the second one. And usually the explosions happen anywhere from 3 hours to like 48 hours after. So I'm not fully out of the woods yet. But I'll tell you what, I just had a little bit of rumbles today and some stank gas. But honestly, if that's all that happens, I mean, that could have been the best mistake ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if it may just be a problem with my digestion.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I can't believe you haven't completely blown out. I thought you were going to call and say cancel today because you were just going to be on the toilet.
I know. I know. Because I usually, it's usually like a half an hour to an hour in the bathroom. And, you know, I mean, I make light of it and joke about it because you kind of have to at a certain point. So obvious that you're, you know, having diarrhea.
Right.
But but it really, you know, I get really sick. So I was really, you saw me. I was really nervous.
Of course.
So I don't know. Anybody with some butt problems, feel free to talk to me about
it. Tag us
in your butt. Problem.
Yeah.
Take pictures, you know, and
would
say,
love.
Is this normal? And I'll say it is for me.
Yeah.
I may have found a little, I don't know. I don't want to speak too soon. I will update you on if I do have a blowout tonight or tomorrow, but
great. I'm so excited though that you possibly found something. Like,
thank you.
You can get down on some pasta.
Yeah. Yeah. Be able to. It's really, I'm in shock. Honestly, right now I'm kind of. Just
what is it called? So the other people know the pill. Do you know?
I can't remember. He emailed it to me.
Okay, great. We'll let you know.
We'll let you guys know. Don't worry. So maybe you could go home for the holidays and eat some flour,
biscuits,
and some biscuits
or something like that. Anyway, we're gonna talk about wanting to avoid your family on the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. This is relatable to everybody. I mean, this will be a fun one. Well, kind of.
Anyway, thanks for listening, you guys.
Oh yes, and please continue to like and subscribe us on iTunes. It's so helpful when you guys do that. And check out this episode.
Yay!
Bye.
This episode is, am I an asshole for avoiding my family at the holidays?
Yeah. Mm. You know, turns out there's no place like home. There's a lot of other places.
There's
like
a lot of other places better than home.
I should have rehearsed that before.
But I actually kind of liked this version better.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's like home for the holidays. That's like the whole thing.
Right.
For some people, they don't want to go there.
Right.
Because you're supposed to relax and be merry, right?
Yeah. And I always think that it's just weird and it's forced fun. Like anything that's forced fun is just like such a nightmare. Anyway, we have someone who absolutely hates everyone in his family.
No,
I'm just kidding. But it's our good friend and oh, our graphic designer.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Hi.
It's Patrick Jones.
Hello. Patrick Jones.
Hi. I was like, that just clicked to me. That
I know. I know.
If they ever listen, I don't hate you all.
Yeah, no, no, I was totally joking. Absolutely.
Kind of nothing, most of you, and the rest are all right.
Great, great. No, I was totally joking.
Rosie hates everyone in her family.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair. They all know
that.
Well,
they suck, but.
Yeah, no, I'm like obsessed with everyone in my family to like a scary degree. But yeah, so okay, so you, well, a little background about you. You're from the South.
Sure, I'm from the South, deep South. I'm not going to talk like that the whole time.
Yeah, I'd avoid it.
No, I, yeah, so I grew up in a combination of Louisiana and Alabama. I went to high school in Alabama. My family all still lives in Alabama. I have a pretty large extended family. I'm an only child, but my dad had nine brothers and sisters, excuse me, wow. All of whom had at least two kids. I was the lone only child, and then kind of steadily, they've all had one to two to three kids, too. So the extended family is this massive tendril that extends outward. So, yeah, so I lived in Alabama, went to high school in Florida, college in Florida, then moved to New York. And since then, I've been to Alabama once, and don't have a whole lot of interest in really going back at any time soon, I guess.
And you're, just to be clear, you're not going back for the holidays.
We are not going back for the holidays. My wife doesn't really. She went the last time I went, and we're both now kind of like, yeah, we're not going to.
Oh, what happened if you don't mind
me
asking?
Well, it wasn't so much any one thing that happened. Interestingly enough, I took her the year that we started to date each other. So we've been dating each other for like 6 months or so. And we went back to the Joneses, they have this sort of large, I guess it's not like a family reunion because we used to do it like every holiday when I lived down there. Mm-hmm. But they were doing it at Christmas time. So we brought, I brought Jess. My wife is British and had only been living in the States for 4 or 5 years at this point. So lots of things were kind of confusing to her. So we went to this family thing and I don't know. We just kind of both felt like we were very friendly. Like they were very friendly, but it was like we were like zoo animals in a way, because it was like everything was like a weird interrogation about like what our life was like, and you know, lots of just like I can never do that, man. I couldn't, man. It's too much. I couldn't do it. Like, and it was like
live in New York.
I was just like, just like, been to New York, and they're like, nah, man, it's too much. It's too many people, and they're all so mean. I was like, well, man, it's kind of not really mean, like,
yeah,
they're busy. Yeah, they're not mean,
maybe a little depressed,
yeah, you know. And so that's, and then, you know, just kind of the same thing with Jess. Then they did this weird thing that they had never done, where everybody in the family kind of broke off into their own little groups and like introduced themselves to everyone, because they were like, well, there's a couple new people here. There's like literally Jess and I think one person who had met like 90% of them. So it was this really awkward thing, and we left, and she's like, was that like a thing that you guys do?
Sounds like, nice. They're trying to get to know. No.
Yeah. Was that their way of trying to?
I think, but I also just don't understand why they wouldn't just say hi,
like
hello,
normal.
Let's talk like normal humans.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I
don't know
I'm
why
Patrick's
it was like
aunt,
a,
how, you know, like
yeah.
How?
Yeah, and you know, and that does. I'm glossing over. I mean, like my extended family is not necessarily the problem. My extended family, I have. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm nothing. Most of them, they're fine people.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't really know enough about a lot of them to have a strong opinion one way or the other. Which is funny considering that we did like 20 years or something of like regular family outings that still can't really get past like hunting, and I guess hunting is like the one thing I can think of that all my uncles like together. It seems like that'd be the one thing they all do together.
Just kill animals,
and then my aunts just make food and like serve it to people. It's really weird. It just feels odd to me. So it feels like a I don't know. I don't connect. But then I guess the main issue is probably more with my dad than anyone else. But yeah,
and a lot of it surrounds around politics, right?
Yes, like most politically of it is centered in that space. Yeah, which has been a big deal since, you know, forever, but especially recently.
Did it seem normal when you were living in it? And then you got out, and then you come back, and you're sort of looking at it weird?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I guess I just find them, and this is why I think I'm an asshole, is because I find sort of interacting with my family really boring.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it at the end of the day. And it's like, so it's, you know, the politics stuff, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit. I'm sure we don't want to turn this into like a podcast about politics, but
right.
you know, that stuff is sort of there. But when it comes to like my extended family, it's just kind of like I've had the same conversations with them every year, three times a year for 20 years. And it's like, okay, are we going to do something different? Or
you're on your side, they're on their side. Never. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, when we, like I said, we don't really talk about the politics stuff with them. It's more just, it's just the same conversation.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. it just doesn't go deeper than.
Are we?
Yeah. It almost feels like small talk every time.
Every time.
Yeah,
and
that's
at a certain point, you're like, okay, well, like, I've known you for 30 years. However long I've known you and been doing this stuff. Like, what were you doing? There's other things I could do. I could go on a vacation. I could.
Yeah. You feel obligated
to. Lots of movies that come out at Christmas. I could go see several. Yeah. You know, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting that like there's certain people that you just can't like break through or like or get deeper, and then it would almost be weird if you started talking about things that were like,
yeah,
real.
Yeah, yeah. No. And which I don't understand about family, which is and it's so weird. It's because it's as an only child, like, so I, you know, we're definitely gonna get into this, but I don't have the best relationship with my direct parents. I had no other brothers or sisters to kind of bounce things off of,
yeah,
so it was me in a sort of a silo, like culturally, especially culturally, but also, you know, sort of I guess morally in a lot of ways. Like, there's just a lot of things where I was kind of like bucketed my whole life and kind of over here. So I don't know, but then all my friends, you see, my friends, most of them have really good relationships with their families and like hang out with their families and like invite their dads to like bachelor parties and stuff. And I'm just like, that's.
Well, that's extreme.
See, that seems nice. You seem like you have this relationship where you're like gleaning something out of it besides just sort of pessimism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think that's really relatable, though. I think a lot of people don't get along with their families. Or like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, the one thing that we have in common with our families is that, you know, our DNA.
Yeah, right.
But like, but then you now are like tied into them for life. I mean, if you want to be, but I think that that's what's interesting about like being in a gathering with them once a year. Like, once you realize that the only thing you have in common really is that, and that's not always the case, but like maybe in your case it is, that, you know, you really
it's
don't
just blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or right. not. It's a in-law, but like with your direct parents, like you share a lot of like,
yeah, right.
Chromosomes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Literally. And so that's gotta be hard. Cause like, that's the thing that connects me to my parents. Personally, I think, and not to rub it in your face, but
I really find it really interesting to hear from people who have really strong relationships.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think like when I was a little kid, like a 5 year old, I was really close to my parents. But for like the soonest is like the first memories that I can really remember are me like fighting with my parents constantly about everything and like never seeing eye to eye on anything with them. And not consciously, not in like a shithead, you know, kid way. Can I curse on your podcast?
Yes. No. Yeah.
I know, I was being sarcastic. But no,
we'll
you know,
it out.
Not in like a really, not in like a really aggressive way. And like, it wasn't me just being like a rebellious teenager.
Right.
There was some of that obviously, but like back before that, just everything they said, I was like, no, this is wrong and weird. And like, why do you think that? Or why do you want to do that thing instead of this thing? Or like.
So even before you moved to New York,
yeah,
you were just like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, like, I ate dinner in my room.
Hmm.
My like from like 12 onwards watching TV. It's the reason I'm like a weird TV.
That's
movie
why you
maniac.
Know so much about.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, because
that's
like,
your catchphrase.
Well,
have you seen this?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And because, you know, my parents would be literally on with like TV dinner trays, like watching Lawrence Welk in the living room, which sounds like
God,
something.
Also, did you grow up in this? Like,
yeah,
50s?
I feel like that's, yeah, right. And that's just like, and so I'd be sitting there, and they would do like a family stuff, and I was like, if we're gonna do it, can we do it in this room over here where we'll all talk or something? I'm like, no, we just want to do it here, but we all have to eat together. So it was like a forced familyhood.
Yeah.
Where it was like,
didn't want to be
no
doing.
One wanted to be hanging out with each other. I didn't get the impression that my mom and dad wanted to be hanging out with each other. I didn't get the impression that they wanted me to be hanging out with them in either way.
Oh.
But it was like, but this is how a family is. So we're all going to be a family.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat dinner together every night. And you're
yeah.
like, and eventually I was just like, I'm not doing this. And I would just like, wouldn't eat. And then they're like, well, fine, just eat in your room or whatever. And then that literally was it for like probably like 8-9 years. I was like, yeah. Wow.
Can I just clarify? Is that the Lawrence? Well, is that the show that SNL parodied where it's
yes.
like,
yeah, yeah. And it's like weirdly racist and
yeah.
like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like sexist. And
yeah. It's super duper.
Okay. So
the creepiest show.
The mindset that you, cause I think what I was hinting at, before I started bragging about how close my family and I are, I was thinking that like that is the connection that I do share with them. And I realize it the older I get is that like my dad and I are super similar in a lot of ways. And then my mom and I are really similar in a lot of ways. So like those are the ways we connect. Like my dad and I don't, you know, whatever. We both have a sense of humor. My mom does too, but like we'll just talk about certain things. And then like my mom and I both love nature. So like we'll want to go outside and go play tennis and go for walks. Like those are ways that you bond, but also that's because we share characteristics that we both enjoy doing. But I think like we were raised in Florida. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like we were in a central Florida too, not South Florida. So like there were a lot of like Republicans and conservatives and, you know, a lot of Bush Reagan signs when I was a kid. And I was on the opposite end oftentimes of my friends, like their families were voting, you know, and for some reason I didn't really understand why, but my family said no, like they're wrong and whatever. And so I feel like it would be a different dynamic if first of all, we did just genuinely get along, but I feel like it would be a different dynamic if I grew up and then changed my political views and then had to go back and hang out with them.
Right.
Because you do have stuff in common, but like this big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually can resonate with that too. Like, but I do feel like I have a lot in common and I'm really close with my family, but my dad and I definitely have different political views.
Right.
And for a long time, it really bothered me and I didn't know how to deal with it. And like, he's going to listen to this. He knows what we disagree, but we just got to a point where we were like, we don't agree. That's fine. He'll like make fun of me about my side. I'll make fun of him about his side. And but it took me a while. Cause I was like, I felt like I was upset that he wasn't thinking the same way that I was. And then I realized, well, like we're just different. But we do have a lot of things like that are similar. Like we're both like, you know, I don't know, whatever we do. We have a lot of things in common. We're jokesters. We send each other weird texts. Like, we're, you know, and like,
yeah.
But there's that thing. And I had to just figure out a way to get over it because I didn't want that to be, to break up my family.
Yeah. And is that like kind of how, like why you feel like an asshole about it is like you can't get past that? Or like, what's the atmosphere? Like when you go home, is it?
Well, I don't go home a lot,
right.
But I could tell you, this is a good example of it. Because I think with my dad, especially, like my mom is less so, she won't really talk about her politics. And the more, like, since the story I'm about to tell you guys, happened, she's been a little bit more open with me about it in a good way, to maybe like reassure me that she's not quite as bad as maybe I thought she was. But like my parents came out here, maybe 2 or 3 months ago and they hadn't seen us in person in probably like 2 years. Like we had Skyped and stuff and talked on the phone, texted and all that, but we hadn't really seen each other.
Wow. In 2 years.
In like 2 years. Yeah. And so they came out, came to the little house we live in Hollywood. And the very first thing my mom said to me was, everybody here has been so much nicer than I thought they would be. And I was like, well, yeah. Like, what did you think everybody here was like mean or something? And she's like, no, I mean, well, you know, you just like the city and you know what cities are like. It's like, I lovely.
Yeah.
Like, they have parks and museums. Like, what's wrong?
Melting pot of different cultures.
Right. Yeah, right. And so, you know, and then, you know, as we started talking, some of the political stuff started coming up pretty quickly. My dad is pretty Fox News brainwashed, like down the rabbit hole, Fox News brainwashed. Pretty immediately we were at it and like loud and fighting. The biggest reason that I can't kind of just be like, all right, well, whatever, we just don't see eye to eye is because so much of his stuff is so bad. It's really like racially bad. And like, I was saying to you guys earlier, he's sort of like, everybody's like, oh, I got like my racist uncle or my racist grandpa. Or it's like, well, that's my dad.
Yeah, right.
And you're like trying to deal with that. And when you're the polar opposite. And then also the thing, like, you know what you said, like, I do have a lot in common with my parents, and I could see that. I recognize the things I have in common. I'm almost exactly like my dad, but on the polar opposite with opinions. And so the way we go at it, like the way I get really like passionate and sort of gesticulating and angry about my views, he does the same. But we have polar opposite views, right? Bashing heads the whole time. You know, and then my mom always wanted to not really play even referee, just wanted to shut it all down and everybody just be quiet. I don't want to hear this. I'm tired. I've worked all day. Leave me alone. Right. And so that's been the dynamic the whole time. So knowing that I can't really be in a room without immediately being like, well, this is wrong. Roy Moore is a petter ass. Don't vote for him. Like things like that. Like these basic things that just that are like that to me are moral.
Yeah.
Things and that are like religious? This is who you are as a human. Yeah, they're both like pretty staunch Catholics.
Okay.
And I grew up that way. I haven't really practiced, but I still have, you know, like the weird Catholic guilt hang-ups and things like that.
Yeah.
Are like embedded and will never go anywhere, regardless of whether I believe in any of this stuff or not. You know, so it's if it was like a policy issue, right? It's like, no, it's a tax cut thing. Is really actually going to like trickle down, just never really got a chance to work. I'd be like, well, that's stupid, but whatever. We can get over it. But when it's like Japanese internment camps were a thing we had to do because of the Japanese, we're going to bomb America. And it's like, what are you talking? Like, where are you getting this? And then the last thing I'll say before I am monopolizing the mic here. But this idea of like not being able to get through to him, regardless of how I try to get through him, because I have tried aggressive angles in, and just none of it seems to hit. It's a wall. Like I remember literally when they were here, we were arguing. I can't remember exactly what we were arguing about, but there was a map that proved it that I had access to, that showed him three different maps that proved that he was wrong about something, and his answer was just no. He just said no, and I was like, "What do you mean no?" He's like, "No, it's just not right."
Yeah.
I was like, I'm showing you facts. Like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah. So, he's like, that's fake news, though.
Yeah. And I was like, it's a fake map. Here's three other things that say it's not. Like, what do you want me to do? Yeah. You know?
I have a question for you, but I want Jen to be involved in it. So, is it okay if we bring Jen on?
Yeah.
Let's bring her in.
Yeah.
Hi, Jen.
Oh, hi.
There she is. See, that's an example of her being like my mom. No, I'm just kidding.
I couldn't figure out how to unmute myself.
That's cute. Well, this is going to be weird, too, because she's my sister. But like, before we get into your question quickly, I just don't want to paint a picture like I have this perfect like family life. My dad and I, it reminds me, we will be similar in the way of like when we both are passionate about something, we will butt heads. And it's like, yes, we're both similar. But if we disagree on something, like we're going at it.
Yeah,
and the same with my sister and my dad. I would say they're even more similar. but anyway,
I'm the type that would leave the room if that was happening because I can't handle it. But like, but you guys are like dealing with the way.
But
you
we always come around to more of an understanding. Yeah. I would find it incredibly frustrating if I couldn't.
We fight for 2 hours
and it's just screaming.
And then one of them just walks out, and then nothing's resolved. Nothing's different.
My question with that though is because you said I can't get through to him, but he can't get through to you either.
Well, that's fair, but I would argue that, and maybe this is me because it's me talking about myself, obviously, but you know, if the things he was trying to put forward were things that I knew to be, if it was just like a fact-based thing, or if it was, no, you need to read more about this because you're misunderstanding this issue, or its effect on the world, or whatever, it'd be one thing. But everything, it's just reactionary, and it's like a Fox News grandpa, and it's like you're trying to deal with your like Fox News grandpa. But it's your dad, who you've never really been close to. And then, I don't know. It just feels like – and he's getting older. He's like 72. He's not a good 72.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, well, I feel like I should be, as a son, trying to connect with him here towards the end.
And you, it sounds like
but
you
But it's like
want-
so toxic. But I've also seen him not be this terrible
guy,
right? Because like more often than not, he's not that. It's just his opinions are awful. But him as a human, as a person, is not at all. Like he – volunteers a ton in the community. He does all kind of, like, you know, he's not like this like, you know, evil dude who's sitting in a trailer throwing beer cans at the TV and like yelling about minorities. But like when you ask him a question about something, it's the furthest right opinion you could get.
Got it.
Which is weird.
That does paint a different picture of him to me, though. He's like volunteering and like
with mentally handicapped kids. They do this like dinner thing every year at Christmas where they like bring these like mentally handicapped they're not orphans, but because that would be too cliche, but they're like, it's some like disenfranchised
aware that something like tax cuts are gonna fuck up
Fox News exclusively and won't read any other publication or book or anything that I try to give him to be like, hey, just like The Atlantic, maybe? Like, you don't have to watch MSNBC.
Yeah.
Like, read any other source of information. And it's just, no.
Because those are going to cut funds for people who have.
Yeah, no, I know.
Those issues. I know you know.
Yeah.
I'm
just yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so, I would, I.
So, Dad, if you're listening. Yeah.
I empathize.
He's our biggest fan, though, just yeah. So I
yeah. empathize with you. I would find it incredibly frustrating. Jen, is there any, can you shed some light onto any part of this? Is there any hope for Patrick and his family?
I mean, I guess I'm wondering, Patrick, how did you learn differently from your parents?
Well, it's a good question, and I don't know. And that's we were actually kind of briefly talking about this before we started recording. But this idea of, like, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty moral person. I don't think I'm the best by any means because I do plenty of shady shit that I shouldn't do. But generally, I feel like I'm kind of going in the right direction. But I don't feel like I learned that from them. I feel like I learned the baseline of it, which is, like, do the right thing, be a good person.
Don't be a murderer.
Don't screw people over. I learned that stuff, and they don't do any of, like I said, they don't do any of those things actively.
They're not like Trump.
They're like not Nazis. They're like Nazi collaborators, right? You know what I mean? Right, like, yeah. they're not going to mm-hmm. put anybody on a train, but if they saw it, they're not going to go commando and try to stop it from happening, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not that. I'm the opposite of that. I'm very aggressively, when I think something is important or, you know, it needs attention, like, I can't just kind of sit back and watch whatever it is happen. I have to be loud about it. I have to go try to do something about it.
When is the first time you remember having that type of strong opposite opinion from your father or your parents?
First strong one. Well, I think, I mean, a lot of it is kind of tied up with Catholicism. I think the biggest one I can remember was I went to Catholic school from, like, kindergarten until my sophomore year, through sophomore year of high school. And then I went to a public school my last 2 years because I freaked out and had to bail. But I remember my confirmation. Which is the thing, is anyone Catholic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So
we all did it.
Okay, cool. So the confirmation, like, I really, really didn't want to do
either,
it.
I didn't actually.
I actively didn't want to do it, yeah. But I was in Catholic school and the whole grade was doing it. Mm-hmm. And my parents, like, made me do it because they wanted to be embarrassed with, like, the other families. They're like, no, you're Catholic. You're doing this. You're going to. And, like, I remember being pretty aggressively against it, but then going through with it because they would just browbeat me into doing it, basically, you know? So that's the first I can remember specifically, which would have been around 11 or 12, I guess.
But it doesn't sound like you were able to have your, I guess, desires met. It sounds like you were against what they wanted, but you had to go through with it anyway.
At the end of the day, yeah. And at the time, I kind of remember feeling not like I had a whole lot of say in it, but just like, well, you don't mm-hmm. care about it and you don't believe it. Just do it so they'll leave you alone. And then you can, like, go back to your room and hang out. And you don't have to worry about them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it's like, just do whatever it is they want you to do while you're here, while you have to be here doing this. And then eventually you'll be able to get the hell out of here and you won't have to worry about it.
Right.
Which is, and then when I did, you know, and then when I moved to New York, you know, I didn't see them often even then, you know. So it wasn't like I moved to New York and then was going back to Alabama every holiday. I went, like, I think the first year and then the next year I didn't. And then I think that I went the next year and then for, like, the next 2 years I didn't. And, like, so it's still kind of sporadic and on and off. And it always kind of felt like they got it too, especially after I moved out, that they were just like, well, yeah. It kind of felt a little mutual, and it was a lot of, like, going through the motions, I guess, on both ends.
What did it look like when your parents argued?
Their fights were pretty aggressive. They were mostly after I was in bed, but I remember most of them, and they were pretty blowout, screaming match kind of things. I would hear them when I was sleeping and everything, but... Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess because what I'm hearing is that that's a similar – so, like, that blowout, fighting, arguing is similar to how you feel when you're around them is how you communicate. So it doesn't sound like you really ever learned how to have maybe a conversation where both sides are heard.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, my wife and we communicate great. Like, we don't have problems with that at all. We're very communicative, and more often than not, I think you guys have seen that, more often than not, like, we don't necessarily agree exactly on something one way or the other, but we're able to talk through it. Like, we've had, like, maybe two screaming matches, and they were over in about 10 minutes, and we were, like, completely cool about 15 minutes later.
And so what does she do differently? Because it just sounds like the dynamic with your parents, I mean, that's a learned dynamic.
Sure.
I mean, that's when you're a kid, you learn how to disagree. You learn what happens when you express a dissenting opinion from your parents. You learn pretty quickly what the response is going to be. And so it sounds like with your parents, it's like, or maybe your dad in particular, it's like, he's not going to hear me, I'm not going to hear him. But it sounds like there's a different experience with your wife. And so that, I just think, I don't know, it just sounds like with your parents, you never quite learned how to communicate effectively. And then, I don't know, you clearly learned something, though, as you got older. And that's, I'm very curious right. how you learned.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it I would chalk up to my wife, actually, being really good about kind of letting me know when I'm talking over her, letting me know when she wasn't feeling heard, when I was being sort of intractable in a way that I didn't need to be for the conversation. And so I think, honestly, just talking it through, because I think the first few, you know, probably fights that we had were probably her pushing back against me, just not hearing her in the same way, like exactly mm-hmm. kind of what you're saying. But, you know, I guess the biggest thing has been with her versus them is that it feels like if I make a point or if I say a thing that I know is factually correct or it's just valid, just heard, like what I just said makes sense. It's not insane that mm-hmm. I said this to you, you know, that she would concede a point or not even concede a point because that makes it feel like it's like a sport, but like would be like, I get what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I get it. I get where you're coming from. And I don't think I ever got that with my parents. I don't think I ever had either one of them was like, I hear you. I don't think you're right, but I hear you. I don't think that was ever said. It was always just this like zero sum. Either I'm right or you're right. And there is no in between with those two things. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go ahead and finish. Oh,
well, the only other thing I was going to say, because I do remember my dad, actually both of them did this, but there was quite a bit of like the, well, I'm the parent, so deal with it, shut up, move on kind of thing. Whenever you would make the point, like whenever you would make like the coup de grace, right? That's like, mm-hmm. I fucking got you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be like, well, you're wrong because I'm the parent, so go to your room. Just like, okay. So it's even when you make the point or even when you do it the right way or whatever, it didn't seem to matter. So it just kind of made me feel a little crazy the whole time because it makes me feel I'm the one who feels like this versus the two sitting alone in a room with a TV, you know, and like,
Yeah. And I guess the way that we learn to attach to our parents is the way that we attach to future relationships. So it's not surprising that, you know, that's how you learn to communicate. And so it sounds like they were pretty, there's like different parenting styles. And so the healthiest parenting style is authoritative, which is where you give boundaries, but basically within those boundaries, you allow for exploration and validation. And then there's authoritarian, which it sounds like maybe that's what was going on, which it's like, I'm right, I'm the parent. There's little room for criticism or critique and independent thought from the child and just this is how it's going to be. And that does not allow for a lot of validation, which is extremely important. And so, you know, I'm wondering how it would be if you told, like, what if you responded to your dad with validation?
Could you give me an any example kind of how that would work? Yeah.
So, like, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Right. Just kind of. But yeah, and I hear that. I hear that. But like I was saying earlier, you know, this is me, I guess, pushing back against it. But it's, you know, when it's something like, well, you know, the Japanese, we had to do this thing and it wasn't great, but whatever, or it's some kind of racist thing or whatever. Like, I don't want to give him any ground in that space. I don't want to be like, oh, well, I hear where you're coming from with that, because I don't hear where he's coming from with that. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, and I don't think,
you know,
yeah. And I guess I'm not saying like, oh, I agree. I'm not saying you should even do this.
No, and I hear you, and I don't want to push back too hard because obviously.
Oh, no. Push away. Push away. No, I guess.
But you're saying it's not by validating, it's not agreeing. It's just saying that
validation isn't agree. Validation is saying I what you're saying or what you're feeling and what you're saying deserves to be heard. And like, for example, what you're saying, Patrick, about the way that, you know, I'm imagining you going into your room every night and eating alone. I mean, that's incredibly lonely. I mean, that would be very hard to attach to your parents and have any kind of deep relationship if a lot of the time is spent away from them for various reasons. And so, you know, it sounds like it's pretty protective for you not to go home, and that's okay. Sometimes that's what has to happen.
Right.
And I guess what I'm responding to, which maybe isn't even on the really in the discussion, but if you want change in the relationship, something within the dynamic has to change. And so, you know, that can be the way that you respond to them. You know, it could be the way that they respond to you, but that doesn't sound like that's happening at all. Because these patterns are ingrained, and you've learned what to expect
right
back when you challenge. You've learned all of that. And so the biggest change, people change because they have different experiences. I mean, with your wife, you had a different experience, so your interactions with her changed. That's not by mistake or by accident. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about relationships with others, right, if we keep approaching and we keep confirming what we think and it keeps happening, nothing's going to change. And so not listening and not having that exchange of ideas in a productive way is never it's never going to be productive. And I know that sounds maybe obvious, but.
Well, no, I mean, it's kind of fair. And I guess it's a question that I run into now is that it's like, it's so late in the game, right?
I feel the same way. This is actually really resonating with me, because I feel like even though I was like, I've solved it, which I don't think I have, but like, I've just kind of given up.
Yeah. And that's sort of where I am now too, where I'm just kind of like, well, I mean, life's good here. My wife's great. Right. Her family's great. Like, I can talk to my mom. You know, if I'm going to be real harsh, my dad's not probably going to be around longer than another 4 or 5 years. Like, should I just make polite conversation 2 times a year with him between now and the end? Yeah. And then just kind of chalk it up to it, you know.
You're not going
to
change
it. It didn't work. It didn't work out. It sucks. Maybe I can be a better dad when I have kids or whatever.
Right.
But like, still recognize like the good things, because I don't want to give the impression that it's all bad, because it's not. But it's. Yeah. When I've gotten to this point where it's like, you know, what I feel like I want, or what I feel like I maybe wanted like 5 years ago when I first started kind of even like thinking about this stuff, right, was to know who he was and know a little bit more about him, because I didn't feel as connected to him as I should have, or it was what I thought I should have, I guess. But then like the more I've kind of gotten to know, the less and less I kind of like, and I'm kind of like a little bit like, well, do I want to know a whole lot more? Like,
sure.
And I think maybe at the core of it, I think that's where I feel like, am I an asshole? Right? Am I an asshole for like kind of being like, oh well, I guess that's life, deal, and wanting to sort of move on in a way, mm-hmm. but not being able to, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really the kind of relationship you want with your family and your parents is completely your choice. That is something that, you know, I'm certainly not going to tell you is right or wrong. I guess the thing that and this isn't just to you, Patrick, but in general, is a lot of times people think that others can't change, or that things can't change, or that things are so ingrained nothing can change. And what we do know is that we don't, in our development, we as people don't hit a place and stop. There is no age that our brain stops being malleable. It becomes different. I mean, as kids, it's a lot different. It's a lot easier to learn. But we know that into adulthood and into old age, our brains are constantly changing, and they're able to change. And so that's why no matter how old you are, I mean, assuming there's not cognitive impairment or something, you know, that would prevent learning, new experiences can cause change. New understanding of people and new experiences can be a huge agent for change. And so whatever the choice is, whatever you decide to do, right, it's totally up to you. But I just think it's worth saying that there's always potential for change.
It's not too late.
Get
it's not always
cruise.
Easy, but
buy him a cruise.
The potential.
What would you say?
Buy him a cruise.
Yeah.
Is what saying.
Yeah, I think so.
Get him see something else. Maybe.
Well, I buy him a cruise, but I mean, I guess I feel like I don't know if this is resonating with me in like on a political way, mm-hmm. But it just feels like the other side has to reciprocate in some way. It can't just be
right.
You being understanding, and that's how it feels. On the liberal side of politics is we're constantly the one that's the people that are like, all right, I see where you're coming from. It's just like when you look at the facts X, Y, Z, or if you look at this, that's not true. And so I would find it incredibly difficult to, I mean, I don't know, just
well,
to
it's
be like
this Roy Moore thing, right? I think this is a good example, right? Because that's a moral judgment to me. And sure, like, so both of my parents understand how political I am and how much it means to me and how important it is. Doesn't mean that much to them. Like, it's not like they're canvassing and calling people and doing stuff. Like, it doesn't matter to them. So if their son is like, look, this matters to me more than almost anything matters to me, will you please just do this for me? To be like, no, don't tell me what to do. Do whatever I want.
They say, no, don't tell me what to
pretty
do.
Pretty much. Yeah. And it's like, and not in so many words, but
sure.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, like, wouldn't you just do this for your son
for your
who
son.
Loves you and is asking you for a thing, for like a favor?
Are you saying they're going to vote for him?
I don't think my mom is going to vote at all. And I think my dad will probably. Yeah. And it's and That's literally tough. Because it's like, well, I don't believe him. And it's all the same stuff. And it's like when you see that rhetoric, and I think it all comes down to me again, it comes back to the political stuff is really kind of probably unhealthily taken over my life a little bit in the last year. But I think it needs to. In a lot of ways, and
well, yeah, it becomes a whole
and
thing
that's incredibly
like,
hard.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
incredibly difficult to have that distance and that disconnect. Because you're right. I mean, when morality gets involved, I mean, it is to the core. It's not just I enjoy this food and you don't enjoy that food.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Because if it was that kind of stuff, I mean, whatever. Like, I can get along with. Pretty much anybody, you know, from all walks of life. It doesn't matter.
But it feels like,
and it sounds like you're disappointed that.
Yeah, I think so.
That connection with your parents.
I really, seriously, and I think that's the thing. And then you know, to have Jess's parents who are lovely and very liberal and kind of have the right opinions on things and do the right things. And so I have them, and it's kind of the first time I've had another set of parents to kind of judge against, you know, and to kind of see how it would look. And it's not like they have, you know, some flawless relationship, but at the same time, it's what looks like a healthy adult relationship with one's parents. And I have not that. And so part of it may, you know, I think it's probably like I mentioned the Catholic guilt. It's part of that, like feeling guilty that like you couldn't figure out a way to do this and now it's too late. And like, you know, so you're defective, you fucked up. Right. So I think that's part of it. But there's also that other part that's like, to your point, I think, Jackie, it's like, why do we have to be the ones that always make the concessions? Why can't we be like, no, you're wrong. Do this thing because you're wrong. And I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even treat you like a 9-year-old.
It feels like a two sides thing. Like how fucking Trump was like, it's there's two sides here. And it's like, it's really fucking hard to see that there are two sides here. One is racist and killing people. The other is not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, where is the, you know.
But and what you're talking about is you're talking about political differences, which are is wrapped into this conversation, right? But then there's also how do you maintain the interpersonal relationship with somebody who has a different political point of view?
Right.
Yeah.
And those are political conversations and interpersonal, you know, effective interpersonal communication are two different things.
Sure. That's very fair. Yeah. And I guess it's and that's what's been so hard is because it feels and especially since this election, it's always felt like it's so intertwined to me now in a way that it wasn't, you know, like it wasn't like neither one of my parents voted for Barack Obama at all. Like they voted for McCain and Romney or whatever. And like that wasn't enough, you know, like that wasn't a trigger. Right. It was this thing that was this trigger. It was like you really like. Literally just because that's you don't want to be embarrassed at work or something.
How do
like,
we
like you would abandon all morals
right
that you've taught me or you told me that I was supposed to do my entire life because of what for what reason? And there's not an answer. There's not a good answer.
It's hypocritical
right?
to your morals and beliefs, actually.
And then again, like I was saying earlier, it kind of makes me start to question mine and like, well, you got these morals from your parents, you learned them from someone, so like, is that wrong? Are you wrong? Like and that feels very, and then that feels very selfish, and then the guilt kicks in, and then I spiral. So
yeah,
there it is.
What were you?
Well, and I think the guilt. I mean, you're turning that towards yourself, right? Like I hear you saying,
right?
Oh, I'm defective because I can't figure out a way to fix this, you know. And it's like, well, and I'm hearing you turn it inward towards yourself of like, I can't figure this out. So I'm defective and there's something wrong with me. When I guess I'm wondering, like, it sounds like you're pretty happy with your wife's family. And, you know, I guess I'm wondering where clearing this and being on the same page with your parents falls as far as like your actual, what you actually value, not what you think you should value.
Well, yeah, that's, I think
what's
that's
actually
the thing.
Important
yeah.
to you.
And well, that's the thing, right? It's like, I am happy in my life for the most part, right? Like I like I'm as happy as I can be sort of with, you know, it's as good as it gets, right? Like right now. Right. And the one thing that it doesn't feel like I have sort of under control in my life is this relationship with my parents. And, you know, we were as sort of divided as I've kind of talked about us being, we were also like pretty close knit. We did lots of things. They were at all my stuff. It wasn't like they were sort of absentee parents that weren't around. Mm-hmm. They were around, but it's just, I don't know. It's like I was like an alien to them, or they were two aliens to me, but they were never not there. And so I guess I feel in my gut, there's like this obligation. It's like, okay, so the way that it's supposed to work is everybody is, you know, you grow up and you have your problems with your family, but as you get older, like you figure it out and then everybody kind of embraces and you're adults and whatever. And I don't have that with them. And it seems like the one space that I don't. And like, so I guess that all boils, that's a nice wrapping point, is that I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means I'm kind of an asshole for kind of feeling like, well, why do I need to bother with this? Like, what's the point? Why don't I just move on? Or, you know what I mean? Or like,
and that's where you are right now.
Which is where I am now. Yeah, exactly.
That's where you are right now. And it doesn't, that's where you are now. It doesn't mean that's where you're going to be next year. Might be, might not. And I think giving yourself that space to kind of figure out what's important and what's not, because it sounds to me like there's a real conflict, because on one hand, there are good points, just like with most people, there are good things and there are ways in which you feel connected to your parents. And, you know, it sounds like you wish that you could hold on to that more. And then on the other hand, there's this big side that makes you feel frustrated and like you can't communicate. And so it's got to be very hard to reconcile that easy thing. And of course you feel a big void because it's your parents, you know, it's
right.
Yeah. It's your parents. Like you said, it's not wacky Uncle Phil or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. Well, and the other thing quickly is that I think the difference between your situations, I mean, there are many differences, but just knowing both of you, you're extremely political.
Yeah.
And you are not as political.
Right.
I mean, you know, you are, but not as passionate about it as you mm-hmm. are. So, I mean, that would create, because I would find it, I'm pretty political, so I'd find it very hard to have a genuine relationship and have to talk around issues, not
exactly.
be able to really talk about what's going on and just talk. What are you going to talk about? The fucking weather?
Yeah, because right. it's like, exactly. And it's like mm-hmm. when, you know, let's say every person has five things that are at the top of their mind at any given time, yeah. when at least two of them are like major political issues
and they all
yeah.
come back
that
to
all
like,
sort of round back around to certain things. And it's like, yeah. well, I don't want to talk to you about my cousin that lives in Arkansas that I haven't seen in 8 years.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
cool. I'm glad their life's going great. Cool. I see it on Facebook. I don't need to catch up.
Right.
You're right. And like, and you just run out of stuff to talk about so fast when yeah. you can't talk about real things. And it's like, you know.
I will say that my dad and I do talk about real things. I always end up crying because like, he has a lot, he's more articulate and has like, he's very strong in like his stance, and I am not. I get really, I'm really wavery, and I just feel like I'm always like, oh, I understand that. Like, I'm very like, I don't know where. I mean, I'm obviously liberal, and don't mistake me for saying I don't know where I stand. But I don't ever like, I have a hard time like being decisive on things.
And you don't necessarily master all the data around
exactly.
an issue. You're
exactly.
just kind of like have a general impression of
yeah.
how you feel about
yeah.
it. And
exactly.
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's the type, like, he's probably more like me, who's read like 50 articles, and
yeah.
50 publications, and
yeah.
knows like every argument for and against and can rattle it all off. And,
right.
Yeah.
And he like, he's definitely, he has like the good parts of Republicans. He's
yeah.
not like racist and awful.
No. And like,
it's
and this is the thing. And like, it's not,
with.
And it's not a knee jerk for me with the political stuff. It's not a knee jerk anti-Republicanism. I'm from the deep South. I have
sure.
lots of friends who are like logical, thoughtful Republicans who just had, again, disagreements with like fiscal policy and things like that. But they're not going to be like, oh no, vote in a pedophile. We need to vote on tax stuff.
And this year is just
like,
so fucking different, like we talked about.
You know,
like,
this guy does this thing. Who cares? Who gives a shit? Like, you know, it's like, it's those things. And it's, that's what gets really frustrating, I think, to me with that stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, so, and I didn't mean to imply that you and your dad don't have legitimate.
Oh, no, I didn't think you did. Okay. No, it's, this is just kind of like just, bringing up things in my brain, too. Like, yeah. And I just have a hard time having conversations. If I don't with someone who has like who's really passionate about something and I'm not, like you said, I mean, you put it perfectly.
Interesting.
And I mean, this is like, this is coming out right around the time for the holiday, so a lot of people are going to be dealing with this, man. Like, that's like the biggest thing that, like, at dinner tables is like, how do we avoid, like, make sure that like grandpa's not racist in front of whoever.
But see,
or, like,
that's
you know?
The thing, right? And that's where I get really bogged down and kind of stressed out. It's like, why avoid it?
Yeah, why avoid it?
Like, and, like, why do you have to, maybe, to Jackie's point, why talk around
maybe
it?
Maybe we should just fucking
talk through
scream
it
about
fucking
it.
Fucking fight if you need to, but like, you can't just not talk about it.
Right.
Because it's, especially, at least for me, this moment in time, you can't just gloss over it.
No.
Because things will go real, real haywire, and then we won't be able to talk about anything.
Well, and I think it's just worth quickly saying that I think, like, society or whatever, you know, sends us all these messages that the holidays are supposed to be wonderful and cheerful and full of, you know, cars with bows on them and, you know, a perfectly cooked turkey, right, with family that's laughing and getting along. And I think it's just – that is a very different picture from what a lot of people do experience with the holidays. And, in fact, especially in my profession, the holidays are – a lot of times a really tough time of year for people.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know, it's for these reasons. So it's tough. Holidays can be great, but again, for a lot of people they're not. And so just for whatever that's worth, it's I think we forget that.
I think that's important because it is kind of that like rosy colored lens when you see they're like those families on TV, they're having a great. Why is my family not? Mm-hmm. But it's like everybody's family's like fucked up. You always hear
everybody's family.
I don't have like some illusion, even though I was raised by a television set. Obviously, like I don't have some crazy illusion that like everybody's family is like that. Because even talking about Jess's family, like they had some pretty big problems growing up, and like as they've aged and gotten older, they've seemed to put it together in a way that works, right? And I guess it's, you know, it. This, I knew we weren't going to get to a conclusion on this today.
Oh, of course
this
not.
This is all
of course
swirled
not.
Around in a million years, or not a million years, but you know,
lots
of stuff happening here. But yeah, I guess it's just, I don't know. I'm getting to the point where it's like, I don't know that it's worth the effort. Got a whole lot of stuff we're trying to get done. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well.
So maybe not an asshole, but maybe a dick.
I don't think you're an asshole. I think you've tried.
I think you're trying to figure it out, and that's what's really endearing about your story is that like you genuinely want to make connection, and you're just not you're having a hard time finding how to get that.
Yeah, and like you said, this resonates like while people get to closer to the end of their life, you know, you want to patch up some stuff.
Well, it's like I have this crazy, and I know we're running over time.
That's all right.
Because I have this, it's not like a fear, but it's just like this recurring thought that's going to happen that like my dad's going to die. I'm going to have to go to Alabama. I'm going to have to give a eulogy at his funeral, and I'm not going to have any idea what to say. And it's going to be like some pat thing that's just sort of, you know, filled with generalities because I don't have a deeper thing. But then it's like,
well,
like I said earlier, it's like, do I really want to know? Like, would I even want to give the eulogy at that point?
Right.
You know, and it's
and
like,
it is what it, you know, it is what it is.
So, well,
hopefully this will be relatable to some people.
Yeah.
Good luck with the holidays, everyone.
Wait, Jen, were you going to say something?
Buck up, guys.
I just always plug, you know, you have to get in tune with what you value and what's important to you. And what's important to you this year might be different next year, like I said. And, you know, again, it's what's in line with your values and acting in ways that are aligned with your values. And if right now protecting yourself and kind of being protective of that is what you need to do and that's what you value right now, they're, you know, that's what you value and they're your values.
That's fair. Good point.
And it's interesting because it's not a black and white thing. Like, yeah. I think if you had like a dickheaded dad, I'd be like, he's not healthy for you. Yeah. Don't, like, just get over it. You should be on him.
If he wasn't at like every single sporting event and like every PTA thing.
Festering
it was
guilt.
Like, literally, it was just like, it's like, I just can't, it's so hard to reconcile the two sides of it.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean, we could talk for a million years about my dad's life. It's nuts.
That,
like,
well, next episode, let's just talk about your dad's life.
Or have your dad on.
Have him on, right? Yeah.
Well, thanks for being so
thank
open.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I hope somebody's helped by this.
How can people find you? Maybe they can DM you and say, my dad too.
I guess Twitter is PRJAD, though I just retweet things. I don't really have much to plug.
That's all right. I'd like to give the opportunity.
Yeah, but your Instagram and graphic design
writer. Yeah, you sort of. Yeah.
You are. Get out of here.
I work at that. But no, more importantly, listen to the show and send it to your friends, because they're these two are much more talented than I am.
Oh,
so.
Get out of here.
That's not
thanks,
true.
So keep going.
Yeah, no,
great. Well, thank
much
you.
Much prettier.
that is true.
Way more charming.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, Jen, as always.
Yes.
Great
yes,
haircut.
Thank you for bringing
she got a good
it.
Haircut.
Thank you.
Yes.
We'll post a picture of her haircut.
Yeah. No, she doesn't want us to. But
put it in all right. The notes.
Bye, everyone. Happy holidays.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Okay.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye, Jen. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Am I an Asshole?
Yay. The one about feeling guilty for not wanting to go home for the holidays.
Yeah. Thank you so much to Patrick Jones. This time he was our guest.
Yes, and he's our graphic designer, so yeah. Those the cool graphic that we have is all him.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. If you realize that you think you're an asshole for something, or if you have a question and you're like, is that person an asshole? Am I an asshole? Tag us in your Instagram stories or on your Instagram. And we can have a discussion about it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Happy holidays.